Hallelujah. Well, God is good. Amen. He's merciful. He's loving. He's kind. He's good. He's our healer. He's our redeemer. Amen. He's blessed us. He's prospered us. He does good things for me because I believe it in my heart and I say it with my mouth. It's not just coming out of a head or a mental assent, but it's coming out of a heart of belief. And as I meditate on the Word of God, which also includes speaking it out, and that could be a confession of meditation that you enter into faith, but then you confess it and confess it and confess it. Why? Because you're moving things. It's like a pot of water. You keep it boiling and you keep it hot and then it can cook the food. Well, you keep your confession hot. You keep it boiling. You keep it out there. You keep it moving. And it's working for you. It's changing your environment around you. We're not manipulating anything. We're simply doing what God's Word says, and it's working for us. And we have a good God, don't we? We have a merciful God. We have a loving God. Well, glory to God. Amen. Dr. Mark Hankins, we've said this before, but I love this quote. He said, when you see what God has done for you in Christ, the reality of redemption will swallow up your old identity. Have you ever heard of these sinkholes that they've found? And they've seen, they've started in actually even lakes and what have you. And that sinkhole literally will swallow up all the water of that lake to where there's no water left in that. And our identity in Christ will swallow up all of the past, all of the things that are, you know, swimming around in that ocean of doubt and unbelief and what we've raised up, maybe even what parents, some being good, but some things that were based on what they believed, but it wasn't according to the Bible. Amen. And those things, as we choose to go forward and look at God's Word versus what we grew up on, or versus what our gym teacher taught us, or what our school teachers taught us, or what we've heard on the news, and if we put God's Word first. And what the Lord has been dealing with me, why don't you go to 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. He's been dealing with me, confess your righteousness, not your condemnation. Confess your righteousness, not your condemnation. Don't talk about all the things that you're doing wrong. Don't confess throughout your day, I'm doing this wrong, I'm doing the other wrong. And let's put this in there. Stop questioning God's Word. As if your question is going to authorize you to be a doubt and unbeliever. In other words, because you question it, because you come across with, can you be compassionate to me? Can you reach out in compassion because this isn't working for me. And what are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to pat you and say, it's okay. If I do that, I empower you to fail. If I do that, then it's not compassion, it's empowering you to fail, which is the opposite of compassion. So if you're dealing with issues, we all have. We all are at one time or another. If you're dealing with problems, if you need things to change in your life, if you're wondering why something's not working out, God's Word has the answer. And we've had individuals say, well, so-and-so told me that I should do this, and I tried it, but it didn't work. Well, what does the Word of God say? Because, you know, I haven't always given everybody the best advice. I'd like to believe that my advice is number one. I like to, you know, it's just coming straight from heaven. But if I give you advice or somebody else gives you advice that is not according to the Word of God, and then you're complaining and you're saying, well, I know the Scripture says this, but so-and-so said this. And you're blaming your problems, or I should say blaming the problem that's happening in your life because so-and-so said that. Well, I think we need to be big enough to say, you know what? Someone gave me this counsel, but it wasn't right, but their heart was right. Their heart was right. So we're not blaming them, but we're simply going to the Word of God and say, Father, what is right? And Pastor Jay and I, we endeavor to give people the knowledge of God's Word. We endeavor to stick close to the Scriptures. I'm just encouraging you, don't blame your problems on other people. If every other word out of your mouth is so-and-so said this, so-and-so did this, so-and-so did this. I listened to so-and-so and this happened. Well, what about the Word of God? Can you say I did the Word of God and it didn't work for me? Well, if you can say that, I believe that you didn't believe it in your heart. Speak it with your mouth. So when you see what God has done for you in Christ, when you believe that, when you speak it, the reality of redemption will swallow up your old identity. It will swallow up that blaming, condemnation attitude that once held you in bondage. And now we're new in Christ. So we walk in liberty. And that's on the other end spectrum of bondage. Faith. We walk in faith. It's on the other spectrum. You've got faith and then you've got fear. Have you been motivated by fear? Fear, you know, a spirit of fear comes and speaks in your ear. And then when you listen to that and you mull over it and you begin to question and you begin to speak it out of your mouth, it will get down into your heart and it will change your mind to a mentality of fear. And you will begin to draw back. And rather than mounting up with wings as eagles, we're graveling the dirt like a prairie dog. We're jumping in our hole. And if we put our head up, we don't know if the next, you know, we're going to be stricken next time. We don't know if a hawk's going to get us. We're living in fear. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And that eagle is confident because they're the king of the sky. And we're kings and we're priests. I'm glad it didn't say, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as a buzzard. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be represented as a buzzard. You know, a buzzard has a lot, you know, they're very familiar to the eagle. They have a lot of a wingspan of an eagle. They can even look like an eagle in the sky. But their feet can, they can't fly as high. Their feet cannot take hold of their prey. And really, they have to sit around and wait for the carnage. We're kings and we're priests. We don't have to sit around and wait at the pool of Bethesda, so to speak. Well, that was all free. Just been meditating on some things. 1 John 4, verse 16, are you there? 1 John 4:16, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Verse 17, love has been perfected among us. And really it means to be matured. And if you're matured in love, our faith works by love. Really, being matured in love matures your faith, and it matures the other fruit of the Spirit as you use the fruit of the Spirit, as you use your joy, as you use your gentleness, these things. But without love, your faith is affected, and without faith, all of the fruit of the Spirit or your character is affected. So all of these things work hand in hand, and love is first and foremost. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. But as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. But perfect love, or a love that is mature, a love that is developed, is what that means. Cast out fear. How do you mean it, cast out fear? Well, when you're stirring up love within, when you're speaking, I love that person regardless of what they did for me, really that fear within or that offense within is being pushed out. The things that you allowed in your mind gate, they got down into your heart or your spirit man, and they can only be pushed out if you look at who you are in Christ and start speaking, I love that person. The only way that sadness can be pushed out is when you start saying, I'm full of joy and I've got the victory. I'm full of joy and I've got the victory now. Oh, nothing but nothing can keep me down. Never sad or wear a frown. I'm full of joy and I've got the victory now. Hallelujah. See? And you got to stir yourself up. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. In other words, it's pushed out. Because fear involves torment. What is torment? Well, I looked that up. It means penalty or punishment. And really, condemnation is punishing yourself. Or it's a penalty or a damnatory sentence on yourself. I've done wrong. I've missed it. And you have a hammer and you're hitting yourself over the head. And the devil's sitting close by because he likes that atmosphere. He loves to talk in your ear when that atmosphere of doubt and unbelief and self-pity and condemnation. And he says, here, take this hammer. It's bigger and it's better. And hit yourself over the head with this. And sure enough, we take it and hit ourselves over the head with it. And we give ourselves a damnatory sentence. We condemn ourselves. And fear involves torment of what we've done wrong or what we will do wrong or what somebody will do to us. But he who fears has not been made perfect, or they haven't been matured in love. Therefore, they're not matured in faith. Therefore, they're not matured in all the fruit of the Spirit. We love him because he first loved us. Fear is on the opposite spectrum of faith. Faith is the opposite of fear. When a spirit of fear comes talking in your ear, he is challenging both your faith in God and your love for God's self and all mankind. Our faith works by love. If we follow the commandment of the new covenant, then we will believe on the name of Jesus and love one another. Amen. According to 1 John, is that 3? Yeah. What does boldness mean? Boldness, because when if we go back to 1 John 4:16, it says in verse 17, love has been perfected among us in this, that we have boldness. Remember that eagle? Yeah. They're confident, they're bold, they're roaming the sky, looking for their prey. Yeah. They're majestic, aren't they? Yeah. We're kings. Amen. Like they're the king of the sky. We're priests. We're in charge of our faculties. Amen. We can boldly soar above. Boldly forget our past, leave it behind us, move on. Speaking our faith and watching God move on our behalf. Boldness means confidence, means openly, freedom in speaking. Have you been squittish lately? Especially in talking to the devil. Are you afraid to talk back to the devil? Thinking if I talk to him, he's just going to get louder. He probably will for a period. But if you just won't relent, he will leave you alone. He will realize he's stronger than I am. Because you're in Christ, and Christ is stronger than the enemy. He'll realize that. So you've got to go to the scriptures, rebuke the devil, and he'll flee from you. I know, but you don't understand. He's doing this, he's doing the other, he's doing, I know. And you're full, your life is full of torment and condemnation. Not everybody, but if you're dealing with these things, even in the littlest area, let's eradicate this in our life. Amen. How do we do that? We look at God's word and we leave the past behind us. We stop looking and talking the problem. We stop blaming it on everybody else. Boldness. Without ambiguity or circummiculum. What? Okay, I'm gonna say this right. Well, anyway. It didn't want to come out right. That's okay. It means, or I'll just give you the definition. Ambiguity, I can say that. Ambiguity. Ambiguity. Well, excuse me. Circumlocution. Awesome. Well, anyway, you get the drift. A roundabout or indirect way of speaking. I did not get offended that you, I'm just playing with y'all, okay? A roundabout or an indirect way of speaking, the use of more words than necessary to express an idea, a roundabout expression. Are we that way with the devil? You know, we need to rebuke him, but we want to be careful about it. Or just indirectly. Well, I'm free. But when you go home, you're not living free. You're in fear. And indirectly, you're not dealing with the devil. You're allowing the problem even to get larger. So anyway, Ephesians 4:11 talks about the ministry gifts. What is our job as pastors? And Ephesians 4, verse 12, for the equipping of the saints, this is what the apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors and teachers are to do. Equipping the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man or to a mature man. We want to grow up. We want to learn to be like that eagle that's soaring above their problems. And yeah. And that is our job as pastors, to help empower you to do so. Verse 14, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself into love. So that's our job. And if you're tired of hearing it, we're just going to keep on saying it. Keep on. Faith and love. Faith works by love. The new commandment is love. The righteousness of this new era is love. And we're to walk in unity. And to walk in unity is to put God's word in first place and to do what God's word says. In other words, you're not just doing what you grew up learning to do. But you're going to the scriptures. You're going to the same scripture that we're preaching and teaching. We're in unity of purpose here. We're in unity to get people saved. We're in unity to get people filled with the Holy Ghost. We're in unity to get people healed and filled. We're in unity to have revival in this church house and to take it home with us. We're in unity to do that. Are we doing something other than that? Well, let's lay that down and let's get into unity. Let's go to Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 1. Just going to share some things here. Romans 8, 1. There is therefore now no condemnation. And while you're turning there, excuse me. Turn my mic off just a minute. Thank you. Are you there?
Yes, ma'am.
Romans 8, 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And you could say who do not walk or are not looking to the flesh, or not emphasizing the flesh, who are not living by the dictates of their flesh, by watching it all day, listening to it all day. How do I feel? What do I think? What is the devil saying? What are my emotions saying? When we've learned to override those things and look to God's word and speak his word, why? Not because we're in denial, but because we believe it's turning around, because there's power in the word. Amen. In Galatians 5:1, let's look at that real quickly. Well, I didn't read verse 2 there, did I? Romans 8, 1. Okay, hold on. Let's go back to Romans 8, 1. I was having such a good time, I was moving on. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life, it's not a law of bondage. It's not a law that we cannot attain to. It's really a law of love. It's a law to believe in Jesus and love one another as he is loved us. And there's no bondage in that. And if we've missed it, we get back up. We don't dwell on the problems. We don't even dwell on where we've missed it. Yeah, but so-and-so may told did this, and then I made a mistake. And I know you're living in torment, in fear. That spirit of fear is in your ear, and you've allowed it to get down into your spirit because you're not only thinking about it, but you're talking it. You know, many of us have either been here, are there, or we're going to be there. So I'd encourage you, let's wake up to what we're talking about. Let's wake up to what we're looking at. Let's wake up to what we're listening to. All right. What then shall we say to these things? In Romans 8:31, if God is for us, who can be against us? Well, we can be against ourselves. And torment is against oneself. Torment turns inward. Torment turns to condemnation. Torment says, I can't do this. But rather than looking to God's power to do it, torment says, I can't. Rightly so. In the flesh, you can't do it. But by God's power, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And nobody can take that away from you. Galatians 5:1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. There, we're talking about liberty. We're talking about freedom. Freedom in Christ is the name of this message. Freedom in Christ. We're free. We're free from bondage. We're free from sin or the effects of sin. We don't have to don't have to live in bondage of the curse of the law. Amen. We're free from the curse of the law. We've been redeemed. Yes. Because of Christ's blood, and literally we turn against ourselves and we turn against our redemption when we say the blood's not enough. If the blood's not enough, then all of us ought to just go home and quit right now. But it is enough. It has been enough for the last 2,000 years. And it only gets stronger. In me, because it's a progression. Amen. And it will get stronger in you. That power, that freedom from bondage, healing, wholeness, whatever it is that you need in your life, prosperity, the empowerment to prosper, you'll get stronger in these things as you focus on your redemption in Christ. I've been redeemed. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. It doesn't matter what you feel like. It doesn't matter what that spirit of fear comes in ear. Although you're going to have to deal with that dude. You're going to have to tell him to shut up and get out in Jesus' name. He will come back again and again and again. You understand that as long as we're on this earth, he's going to come back. But when you tell him to go, he is going to have to leave for that time. Yeah. Yeah. Amen? Amen. What would hold us in bondage? The question is, what will hold us in bondage? Number one, not renewing the mind and developing the heart to our in Christ realities. Yeah. Not renewing the mind and developing the heart to our in Christ realities. Number two, speaking against our redemption. Speaking against our redemption. So number one, not renewing the mind and developing the heart to our in Christ realities. But number two, we can speak against our redemption as well. There comes a time when we must stop talking the problem, stop talking the fear that the enemy brings, and stop yielding to or gendering doubtful questions. Rather, we must choose to take God at his word and speak and act in faith, whether we feel like it or not. Stop talking about your feelings and struggles. Stop making the feelings and the struggles your Lord. We care about your struggles. God cared enough about your problems that he sent Jesus on the cross to pay the price. And therefore, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens him. Everybody's at a different level. So we help those who are new in Christ and even help lift them up and pray for them, what have you. But there comes a time when we're going to have to stop talking about the problem. Because I cannot do it for you. And in particular, if you are negating the prayers that we're praying for you by your words. Number three, trying to go beyond our measure of faith. Trying to go beyond our measure of faith. Well, I was dealing with the flu and God didn't heal me. Well, did you read the scriptures? Did you meditate on the scriptures? Did you allow faith to rise in your heart? Or did you just hear somebody else got healed and well, I think I'll try it. Didn't work that way. God's merciful, especially to those who are new in Christ. Again, we can many times get things for them, but sometimes people even get mad because they bring a friend and they're fairly new and they didn't get healed. Well, I brought them to the meeting and they didn't get healed. Well, they sure didn't get healed by your faith. I guess Pastor and I are supposed to have all the faith in here. Well, if you bring somebody in, why aren't you meditating on healing scriptures yourself? Why aren't, when you leave, if that person didn't get what they need, why don't you take them to your house and minister the healing word to them and tell them and teach them about faith and about receiving? Amen. Or is it all up to us? My Bible says that we're all in this together. Yes. See, we're giving you the word. We're empowering you. We're equipping you. But we can't go home with you. Trying to go out beyond your measure of faith. Well, so-and-so, I really wanted them to get healed, and they died. Join the club. Do you know how many people I've seen die over the years that we were believing God for? You cannot carry other people for indefinite amounts of time. Every single person that I've seen die, that God dealt with me to go minister to them, I was able to get them to a certain point, but because of their mouth, because of their doubt and unbelief, or because they weren't raised in a church like us, or for reasons I didn't know, but it was between them and God, maybe they wanted to go home. But am I going to sit here for the rest of my life and stew over somebody else? Remember the prophet Samuel and King Saul, and he cried all night long about Saul missing it and not making it. And God said, stop crying. I've moved on to David. And besides, is the person that you didn't get healed, are they in heaven? Well, glory to God. We've had people in this church service that we have seen the healing power of God minister to them in strong ways. But then they went home and they spoke against their redemption. Now, I'm not blaming them. I'm just saying there's reasons. And we want to be compassionate and we want to be loving and kind. But my friend, I am not going to spend the rest of my life stewing over whether or not somebody else received. I'm going to make sure I receive. I'm going to make sure that I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I'm going to make sure that I'm strong for my own family. Too many times we try to go out beyond our measure of faith and get people healed, and for whatever reason that they didn't get healed. And maybe we didn't do something right. Maybe we didn't teach them right. But next time, I'll be more skilled. And there's a time and a place that we are going to have to stop and move on. Oh, that's calloused. Okay, well then sit there, stew over it, let the spirit of fear talk in the ear, look at your past, and it's going to get worse for you. It's going to get worse for you before it gets better. Until you decide to stir up the love of God within you. Until you decide to stir up and start speaking what God's word says versus what the problem says. Pastor Jay and I love you. That's why we're strong. So number one, what holds us in bondage? Not renewing our mind, developing our heart. We want other people to do it for us. Remember the story, and it bears repeating over and over again. The story about the young man and woman who came to church, and we were counseling them for marriage. And he said, I just can't read my Bible. I just have a hard time. I get distracted. As if I never get distracted when I'm reading my Bible? Yeah, about every other word, but I just got to focus. You understand? You got to. Well, anyway, moving on. And I said, get some teaching tapes and listen to those. I've tried that. I can't retain it. Do you hear? I can't retain it. I can't read. See, he really believed that he couldn't. In the services, are you listening in the service? I don't retain it. I just get too distracted. So you can't read your Bible, you can't listen to tapes, and you can't go to church, and you're asking me what to do? Well, I guess you better die then. I can't do a thing for you because you won't do a thing for yourself. Stir it up. Stir it up. It's not about your feeling. Okay, everybody gets distracted. And this particular person was a very good car mechanic. I said, how did you learn to be a car mechanic? Well, you know, I read manuals. Oh! Manuals? Some people would rather read the Bible than a manual. And I told him, you're reading a manual because you believe you can and you're enjoying it. Stir yourself up about God's word. I don't enjoy it. I know, because you're putting other things in the place of it. Stir it up. Stir it up. Stir it up. I don't feel, I know you're all touchy-feely. All right. Waiting for a feeling to come hit you over the head. Not renewing the mind and developing the heart to our in Christ realities. This holds us into bondage. Number two, speaking against our redemption. And number three, trying to go beyond our measure of faith or trying to carry somebody else on our faith for prolonged periods of time. And then we blame God for it. We blame the pastor. Why didn't this person get healed? We're playing the blame game or the condemnation game. And what it boils down to, and can I just say this? Because I love you and I care about you, but what it boils down to is condemnation, self-pity, and you've got to get up out of that pit. Yeah. And the only way that we can help somebody get up out of that pit is to stop empowering them to be in it in the first place. Stop pacifying them. Here's a sucker. Sucker. You understand? All right. Well, moving right along. Galatians 5:16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walking in the Spirit is simply turning your heart toward God's word and the witness of the Holy Spirit within. So walking in the Spirit is turning your heart towards God's word and the witness of the Holy Spirit within. Stop speaking against yourself, which is to speak against your redemption in Christ. Start speaking who you are in Him. Amen. Just get up in the morning. When you're in the mirror, you're tempted to say, oh my goodness, you pathetic thing. Rather than say that, say, you sure are handsome. If you're a man, you understand. If you're a woman, you're a beautiful woman of God. You may not feel like it. Your hair may be like this. You know, you need to brush your teeth. You're hungry. You get breakfast. You get in the shower. Put on some decent clothes. Sit down with your Bible. I actually sit down with my Bible first, you understand? And I'm putting on the new man. And I'm speaking good things over myself, regardless of what I feel. But if you start your day out by saying, Lord, I don't understand. I don't understand why so-and-so died, and, you know, I prayed for him. I don't understand why, you know, I've been dealing with this sickness in my own life for this many years. Lord, I don't understand. And all the while, God's word says just the opposite. See, you're saying you don't understand, but if you want to understand, you've got to get the knowledge of God's word in your heart. And it's called faith's understanding of the word. And we go to Isaiah 53 there, and it said, he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for mine iniquities. The chastisement of his peace was upon me, and by Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. I'm whole. I'm forgiven. I'm free. Amen. And that's how you start out your day. And the enemy comes talking in your ear. You got to answer him. Answer it. It's like that book says. I got to answer it. I don't care how many times of the day, but you've got to answer it. Yeah, but I did this wrong. Don't go by feeling. Just repent. If you did something wrong, well, that's a heavy revy. Just say, I'm sorry. But I feel like doing it again. Well, say you're sorry anyway and get up and start speaking God's word that I'm free from that thing. I'm free. And if your mind is on, I'm free from it, then you don't want to go do it. But if your mind is, I'm not free from it, and I want to do it, and it's got a hold of me, then sure enough, that's what you're going to be doing. But you've got to focus on righteousness. You've got to focus on who you are in Christ. You've got to focus on being forgiven, on being healed, on being, yeah, but you don't understand. I just am not good enough. Talking against your redemption. Because Christ's blood made you good enough. He didn't make anything bad. You don't understand. Oh, yeah, I understand. Been there, done that. Had the condemnation t-shirt. Tore in many pieces over the years. But it was until I realized I wasn't going to push that thing out of my heart that I had allowed get in my mind and down in my spirit until I began to meditate on God's word and speak his word. And that was the only way I was going to be able to stir up, keep that pan boiling hot, move it, change my situation. It didn't matter what I felt like. Didn't matter what I just did 5 minutes ago. It didn't matter what I want to do 10 minutes in the future. It doesn't matter. What matters is his word says I'm free. And if that's what I'll focus on, that's what I'll speak, that's what I'll look at, eventually that is what I'll go toward and what I will act on and what I will become. Well, glory to God. Anybody happy in here?
Amen.
But I don't feel like it. Don't ask your body what it feels like doing. Do it anyway. Speaking God's word will bring a reality in your spirit that will bring freedom of spirit, soul, and body. There is no other way up and out. There is no other way to experience complete freedom. You must meditate on what God says about you until faith rises higher than your condemnation. Higher than your problem. Higher than the voices of doubt. Higher than the sickness you are feeling. Higher, higher, higher. When you believe and speak God's words, then you no longer magnify the problem, but you magnify the problem solver. When you speak God's word with a bold, all outspokenness, then your faith will soar and your doubts will fall flat to the floor. I'm going to say one quote here as God was giving me this, because this is something that you need to remember. You must meditate on what God says about you until faith rises higher than the condemnation. Meditate, say it, until your faith pushes out, rises up. And it's higher than that condemnation. And you're mounting up with wings as eagles rather than scurrying in the prairie as a prairie dog. Waiting as a buzzard on the side. Concerning offense, because I knew you wanted to know. The fruit of love pushes out the offense. So really, we need to focus on acting on our love walk versus trying to find offense. The offense will leave if we are developing, speaking, and acting on the love within. God will show you specifically areas you need to make the changes in, and he will give you the strength to make those changes. Romans 8:13. Stop looking for offense. Amen. Stop looking for sin and start renewing your mind. Yeah. Things will take place in your spirit that will help you see and make the changes. In Hosea 4, verse 6, is this all right? Yes. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge because you have rejected knowledge. That word reject means to spurn, to loathe, to despise. We get to a place, it means to abhor it. We just get to a place, he says, you're rejecting knowledge. And somebody might say, no, I want the knowledge of God's word. But we can say we want the knowledge of God's word, but when we have the knowledge of God's word, we're not applying it to our life. Or we're speaking against it by saying, this won't work for me. By saying, yeah, but I still have symptoms. Well, I understand you may still have symptoms, but God says, calling those things that be not as though they were. What be not? Healing. So what? Call yourself healed. Stop talking about the symptoms. Stop talking about how you feel. Stop talking about the heaviness. Stop. And I understand, because you get so low into a pit of whether you're dealing with sickness and disease. I mean, even flu symptoms. Been there, done that. You understand? You just feel like, you know, somebody end it now, right? Well, moving right along. That's never been you. Okay. But you can get so down, whether you're dealing with sickness and disease, whether you're dealing with condemnation, whatever you're dealing with, offense, I don't believe they did that. And you can just get so angry and just so spiraling down. Like the Israelites, and they doubted, they complained, and they cried all night long. But Joshua and Caleb were of a different spirit. And they said, let us take that mountain. Yes. They were speaking by the knowledge of God's word. Amen. They knew what God could do for them. Amen. So we can say that we want knowledge, that we desire knowledge. But if we're not meditating, believing, and speaking, then we're rejecting. Mm-hmm. Yes. You understand? 1 Timothy 4:15, meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them. That's it, Pastor Debbie. I can give myself a little bit a day. Well, start there. Give yourself a little bit a day. Start 5 minutes. Add 5 to it. Keep on growing. You'll get stronger. And I'm not saying about, you know, speak out doubt and unbelief all day long, and then at the end of the day, Well, pray the Lord, I'm healed. Glory to God. Things are changing. Good night. No, you're going to have to change what you're saying. If you really want things to change, you'll make the changes. Having the knowledge of God's word is not going to do it for you. You have to take that knowledge and apply it. And strength, it will come as a result. Strength of spirit. The Holy Ghost will take hold together with you. And as you pray in the Holy Ghost, you'll be strengthened. You'll be edified. These are things. Somebody that's sitting around talking about their problems, talking about where they've missed it, talking about their sorrows and their sadnesses is not somebody who's building themselves up. Oh. No. Oh, it doesn't work that way. When you're praying in the Holy Ghost, I'm not making fun of you. I'm just saying when you're praying in the Holy Ghost, you're going to get a chipper to your step. And you know, a smile on your face. And you get up and you stir up yourself and praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And then you just do more and more and more and you grow. And maybe you fall along the way, but you get yourself up and you say, I know how to handle this. Devil, get out of here in Jesus' name. The word of God says rebuke you and you'll flee. Get out of here. By Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. I'm forgiven. Shut up. See, there's a boldness that comes. Praying in the Holy Ghost will not create faith for you, but it'll stimulate your faith. Dad Hagen talks about, you know, praying in the Holy Ghost, it stimulates our faith. It edifies our faith. So meditate on these things. 1 Timothy 4:15. Give yourself entirely to them. You can do it. Just keep saying, you know what? I give myself entirely to the Word of God. Maybe you did what you wanted to all morning long, but that's your confession. I'm sorry, Lord. I should have read your word more today. Thank you, Lord. I give myself entirely to the Word of God. And you start saying what you can do rather than condemned for what you have not done. That your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. All right? Keep God's word moving before you. You have to constantly push the temptations, the offense away and answer it with the word of God. We must watch and be on guard to the devices of the enemy, what he will use to distract or to pull us away. And Pastor Jay was just talking about that, wasn't he? What we meditate on is what we will go towards, and eventually that is what we will act on and become. The only way to break a stronghold in our lives is to gain revelation knowledge of God's word and act on it primarily by saying what we believe. Keep it moving. We will be breaking the strongholds by acting on the wisdom of God. We become skilled in doing what is right when we are meditating and acting on our faith and love in godly environments. When we allow thoughts and imaginations in our mind and we begin to meditate on these thoughts, using them as arguments to speak what we think to be true, then they become strongholds or they become established as beliefs in the heart and become fortified as mindsets in the mind. What do we base that on? Well, in 2 Corinthians 10:3-6, 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 6. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. And really, they're talking there. Paul is talking about thoughts that become imaginations, that eventually become actions, and then they become strongholds. But if we renew our mind and develop our hearts to God's word, those strongholds can be broken. It says in verse 3 there, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. And that word war means to contend with carnal inclinations. In other words, if we're trying to fight the fight of the flesh with carnal ways, fleshly ways, we get up in the morning and we want to do it solely by willpower, we'll fall flat. But if we do it as a result of meditating, speaking the word, then his power gets involved and helps us and helps to push those things out. As we speak the word of God, the doubt runs out.
Amen.
If we are bound with sinful thoughts and evil carnal ways, then we must increase the temperature of God's word in order to experience freedom from what binds. When we meditate and act on God's word, the power of God will melt off the sinful mentalities and push out the evil heart motives. And we give the illustration in conditions of freezing temperatures of 34 or less, water will freeze up and become hard or binding to a structure. How many had some hard binding to your windows this last week? But if we keep the thermostat at a higher temperature, then the ice will melt. It will no longer bind to the structure. If we want sin to fall off, if we want addictions to fall off, if we want wrong mentalities to fall off, then we're going to have to do what every other Christian does. Read your Bible and pray every day and you grow, grow, grow. Some people want to be in a circle and they want people to pray for them and lay hands on them and cast the devil out. Some people just call up a friend and say, you got to do it for me, man. I can't do it. But it's only when we read our Bible and pray every day and we'll grow, grow. In other words, it doesn't sound real exciting. But if you'll do it every day, you'll grow,
yes.
And you'll get more excited, yes. And you'll have the strength of spirit,
yes.
To fulfill God's plan.
Yes.
And you'll be able not only to help yourself, but to help others,
yes.
As well.
Yes.
Well, we're almost through here. Are you all right?
Yes.
Yeah, praise God. We're almost through. If we don't like the results of our circumstances, then we are going to have to adjust our settings. Do so by meditating on God's word, speaking what you believe, yielding to peace and joy in the Lord, praying in the Holy Ghost, stir it up, and change your circumstances. Why don't you stand up? And again, the Lord really, really dealt with me to emphasize what we focus on. It's a lie and it's deception, and we've all listened to this. It's a simple one, but yet it hits home. When we are focused on what we can't do, when we are focused on what we don't have, when we are focused on what we feel, like sickness and disease, when we are focused on the bills, when we're focused on these things, then the power of God can't work on our behalf. But when we're focused on who we are in Christ, therefore we're renewing our mind and developing our heart. Remember those areas that the three areas that can keep us into bondage, and one of them was when we're not renewing our mind or developing our heart. The other was speaking against our redemption. See, just do the opposite. Renew your mind. Develop your heart. Don't speak against your redemption, but speak your redemption. Speak it when you don't feel like it. When you feel sick, speak healing. When you feel broke, when the bank, you know, says you're broke, when your pocketbook says you're broke, you say, I have a supply. I'm rich. He increases me more and more. And we believe that it's turning around. And anything specifically that you're believing for, sow seed. And don't turn loose of that. I don't care if it's a month, 2 years, 5 years. There are things that Pastor Jay and I have just stood and stood and stood. And we knew it was getting close. And we knew that there were times even, I mean, we've had bankers say, no, you can't do that. We did it. They're not my source. God made a way. God made a way. This is for all of us tonight. In these times of the year, sometimes when we've dealt with symptoms of sickness, maybe you haven't, if you're believing God for a raise on your job and it just doesn't look like it's happening, if you're believing God for more income, if you know the banker has told you, well, you just can't have that house, and you know you've been speaking your faith, you've been giving toward it, don't let it come out of your mouth, I can't do this. Because God can, and I'm in Him. Therefore, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, a little problem got you down? Well, rebound. Get back up. Start speaking the word of God. If you're mad at what I preach tonight, that's a good indication. That you're led by condemnation. If what I said tonight angers you, then it's a good indication that you're bound by torment, condemnation. But the only way that can turn around, and maybe it's just tweaking in areas. Maybe just a little area of condemnation. Maybe just little areas. Whatever. Big or small, it's there. We got to deal with it.
Amen.
Stir it up. Amen. Well, praise the Lord.